Do you have Facebook Live on?
I do.
I just asked because you were talking about how rough you look this morning.
Yes.
So I didn't know if you had Facebook Live up and running.
Yes, I do.
What's going on? What is it, your face?
Yeah, it's just the whole thing. It's a little rough.
What happened?
Man, you know, it took me forever to get in this morning, so I was later than what I usually am, so I usually do my makeup before.
You prep here.
Yes.
You get yourself ready.
Dude,
here.
I got a kid.
I don't know.
You think that I got time in the morning? I gotta feed him.
I just don't, just sleep in your makeup.
Ew, no.
And
it's
then
bad for your skin.
And then on Fridays, with the weekend, you can take it off, and then Sunday night, put it on again.
That's really terrible for your skin. No. Terrible advice from Nick Reed.
Well, you are the one who said that you looked awful this morning.
Well, I do.
You look rough. Sorry, rough was your term.
Yes.
Now, so everyone can see on Facebook Live.
Well, everybody can watch me put my mascara on.
Are you gonna use Facebook Live as your mirror?
No, I've got my mirror over here.
Okay.
I know you can't see because I'm literally sitting behind you, but
yeah,
I got a mirror. Goodness. Man, did you have a hard time driving in this morning?
No, because it wasn't raining yet.
Oh, man.
When I came in.
It was downpouring the entire way.
Yeah, I was here a bit, and then I could hear it, and then I was at the printer trying to figure out why it wasn't working, and I looked out the window, and I thought, man, it's really coming down out there.
Yeah, it was rough. Me and a Jeep, he was my battle buddy on the way the way to town. So we drove all the way from Buffalo to Springfield, and then I waved goodbye. I hope he got where he was going. We separated at 44 and 65.
Yes, perhaps you will one day meet again.
Hopefully.
There are, let's see, a couple flash flood warnings out until 9:15 for Hickory County, and a flood watch until 9 for counties east of Springfield. A full look at that forecast coming up here in just a couple of moments. It's Thursday. Christy Fulnecki will be joining us. We do have Author of the Week as well in the 8 o'clock hour, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. Tomorrow is Friday. Friday Road Show at Scramblers. Come by, join us. Doors open at 6 a.m. We'll broadcast live 6 to 9. That Friday Road Show, sponsored by Affordable Towing. We've got a lot of partners. We'll all work together in conjunction with one another to bring you credible radio right here in Springfield. There's a new set of numbers that have come out that just, again, show us what we know. And that is the difference when you have side-by-side states that are run by people who believe that government is the answer to everything, that government should dictate to businesses how they should be run, that when it came to COVID in particular, specifically, I should say, that everything had to be shut down to save the children. And then, of course, you had many states that in the beginning locked down because they didn't realize, you know, none of us knew what was happening. Is this going to kill everyone on the planet? But as things rolled out and as we began to observe what was occurring with COVID, we learned from it. And instead of continuing to lock down in fear and just deem certain people officially science and doing whatever it was they said, we thought for ourselves in those states like Florida and South Dakota and other red states, began to say, okay, we're going to look at the results here. We're going to look at the science and start loosening things up. And so you had this big divide here. You had the lockdown states, which I haven't been to New York or Los Angeles, but I hear people who are in those areas who either live there or they visit there, and they say it's as if it's like the peak of COVID, the way that some of these people are behaving. You see the results of this. While they were accusing the Ron DeSantises of the world of being responsible for the future deaths of untold people, which of course didn't happen, the benefit of looking at COVID realistically instead of with fear tactics was that the economy did not suffer as greatly as it has in blue states. And what the studies have shown, and there's a new one out, is that blue states still are underwater in terms of jobs. You hear Joe Biden running around, oh, God, we created all these jobs out there. First off, it wasn't the creation of jobs. When you use your power in government to tell people you cannot open your bit, you have to, we will throw you in jail if you open your doors. And then you're like, okay, we're no longer going to throw you in jail if you cut hair, if you open your store, whatever your good or service may be. And then they go back to work. That's not creating a job. If that were creating a job, then that means every single morning that the first person at an establishment, the first person at a restaurant, who the first employee at every business that goes in and opens the door, and then other employees come in, that would mean that that person every single day, look, they created 16 jobs every day, every Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. They have created 16 jobs. No, they didn't. They opened the door so people could go in and go to work. That being said, if it weren't for the red states, there'd be no bragging rights at all from Joe Biden. Because the blue states, states run by the Democrats, are states that are still underwater in terms of jobs from pre-COVID period or when COVID started, versus red states that have shown a net gain. Now, of course, it's totally perfect because here Biden is trying to claim credit for something that literally would not be possible if it weren't for Republicans, the very Republicans that Democrats claimed were going to kill all of us because of their reckless, money-driven, white supremacist-motivated efforts to keep the economy going. Jason Rima with the latest news update.
Republican leaders got their wish with the defeat of former Governor Eric Greitens in the U.S. Senate primary. Now they face another complication, a well-funded, right-leaning political newcomer who could splinter some of the Republican and independent vote in November. The X factor is John Wood, a Republican running as an independent with substantial financial backing from former GOP Senator John Danforth's Super PAC. A former Missouri teacher has been sentenced to 30 years in federal prison for coercing children to send him pornographic images. 31-year-old Brandon McCullough from Branson was sentenced. He was a teacher at Cassville High School when those crimes happened. An Arkansas panel has blocked a recreational marijuana proposal from appearing on the ballot this fall. The State Board of Education commissioners rejecting the popular name and ballot title for that proposed constitutional amendment. Supporters say they will appeal to the state Supreme Court. And the Highway Patrol says crews have recovered the body of a man who drowned while floating on the Current River. 48-year-old Dee Hodges was from Wichita, Kansas. That drowning happened at Cave Spring in Shannon County. I'm Jason Rima, Springfield's Talk 104.1.
First Alert forecast sponsored by Navant. Employee benefits that work. Flash flood warning until 9:15 for Hickory County. Flood watch until 9 for areas east of Springfield. So we got the showers and storms today. High of 93, heat index of 173 tonight. Sunny, hot with a slight chance of showers and storms tomorrow. High of 95, heat index of 100. Sunny on Saturday, 94.
You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
I'm sexy and I know it. American Transmissions Talk and Text Line 447-KSGF. Red states have fared much better economically than blue states post-pandemic thanks to an influx of new businesses and growing populations of remote workers from other parts of the country, economists told the Daily Caller News Foundation. Republican-led states have added 341,000 jobs and grown economically compared to the start of the COVID-19 pandemic, while Democrat-run states are short $1.3 million jobs, according to the Wall Street Journal, citing statistics from the Brookings Institution. Interstate migration inflows have fueled disparities in economic growth and benefited red states because American workers, as well as major American businesses, are attracted to lower cost of living, a welcoming business environment, and even certain social policies, economists learned. Quote, people move with their feet, and lots of folks are attracted to fewer taxes, regulation, and government interference in daily life. Those things matter to people that, according to Vince Ginn, chief economist of Texas Public Policy Foundation. Now, this is what I have, for years, recognized when it comes to a lot of these different issues, and the economy being one of them, you have people on the left that will, you can find numbers and statistics of anybody, especially with the internet now, right? It's not like once upon a time where you would get information regarding the, impact that income taxes had on migration from one state to another. It would be some study that was done, but the dissemination of it would be dependent on some publication that had a reputation that, you know, they wanted to keep as pristine as possible. That publication saying this study looks good, this study seems to be grounded in reality, there's a lot of research here, so we're going to publish it. And that's how information got out. But now with the internet, you know, you can find anybody who is a professor of this or that that will write some blog making claims that may not be rooted in reality whatsoever, but it backs up the ideological beliefs. It validates the ideological beliefs of people in the media that are on the left, and so they will take that and use it as rationale, use it as justification to back up their beliefs. And so point being is, when it comes to, let's say, government regulations and taxes and their impact on businesses and their impact on the economy, their impact on how it is that people decide to choose where it is they're going to live, all day long, you can throw back and forth, well, this expert claims this, this expert claims that. Well, what do people actually do? Let's look at that. How about we look at the results? That's pretty simple, right? I don't have to have a degree in anything to look at results. Where do people go? Generally, people tend to migrate in life towards things that are an increase in their quality of life. Most people, when the option presents itself, choose to go the route in which they're like, yeah, I'm going to be worse off in this decision, so I think I'll do that. Many people will sit down and make a list when it comes to life choices. Some people do it more than others. Some people never do it at all. Some people do it when it comes to relationships. All right, let's see, I'm dating this guy, and all right, I'm going to make a pro column and a con column, and go and all the reasons that this guy, I see red flags, I think I shouldn't date him, and all the reasons I should date him, right? We got the pro and the con column. It is widely accepted and understood, without even saying so, that the reason that's done is because whatever, if there are more pros, then okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to pull the trigger on this and make this decision. If there are more cons, it is just understood that that is where a person will go, okay, I'm not going to do it. We all accept that people, when there is a decision to be made, they are weighing what is going to be the best thing for me. So while you have people, just even in the broad brush sense, outside of economics, I mean, look at Gavin Newsom, for example, running these ads in Texas and Florida, talking about how wonderful California is, how much better California is than these two red states because it's run by Democrats and you should all come here. Meanwhile, people are fleeing California, and two of the top states they're going to are Texas and Florida. That's all you need to know. If you were asked by someone, hey, I'm thinking about going out tonight, but I don't know if I'm going to go to restaurant A or restaurant B. What do you recommend? Let's say you've never been there before, but here's the one thing you know. Restaurant A's parking lot rarely has any cars in it. While restaurant B has a line of people consistently waiting to get in. What does that tell you? Clearly, restaurant B is better than restaurant A. Otherwise, people would not be going there. when it came to making the decision as to which restaurant to go to after people have had the experience of both or heard word of mouth. They go to restaurant B instead of restaurant A because of what you... Now, restaurant A can go on and on. The manager could tell you how wonderful the food is, how wonderful the service. Oh, everything's fantastic. We're the best restaurant in the world. He can go pass out flyers at restaurant B telling them how wonderful our restaurant is. Oh, you should come here instead. Oh, you poor people here standing in line to get into this restaurant. They're awful. It's horrible. Have you had their bread? It's terrible. You should come over to my restaurant where everything's so much better. But if people know, they know. And so aside from the numbers, aside from the aside from all the theories about what will create a great utopia, what do people do? And consistently we see people flee blue states as refugees and go to red states. The process of moving with one's feet has been reinforced by the increasing prominence of remote work, allowing people to decide where to live for financial and lifestyle reasons rather than being anchored by where their company is headquartered. Now, this is important recognition here. And the point is, prior to the remote learning, which became so much more prevalent because, again, businesses, for a lot of them, they had no choice. It was what they saw as the lesser of two evils because it was either that or shut down completely. And many of them either realized, hey, we can do this with employees remotely, or employees just got so accustomed to it, they said, well, we're not going to come back to work. And so the company's like, all right, well, we'll figure this out and do remote learning. So what that means is it has made it easier for people to live where they want, regardless of where they work. Prior to that, if you worked somewhere in a particular industry, for example, and the state you were in was a state that had high taxes, had high regulations, you have this lunatic stuff from the left, and you're like, man, I got to get out of here. It wasn't so easy. You'd have to find a new job wherever it is you wanted to go. You're talking about pulling your kids out of school. If your spouse has a job, you know, you got friends, or if you have family there, there are a lot of other factors to consider. You know, up and moving everyone. But the job being, you know, such a tremendous anchor because you could not do, it meant finding a whole new job somewhere. Well, when you take that factor out, that's a huge factor. A lot of people are like, huh, I don't have to stay. I can go wherever I want. And so we saw with the COVID lockdowns an increasing number of people who were able to move where they wanted to because the thing that kept them where they were, the job, no longer anchored them to that area. And where are they going? They're going to red states. So your friends that are on the left, elected Democrat officials, like, you know, you got locally here, Crystal Quaid, of course, they're running around, oh, we'd be so much better if Democrats ran this. Oh, our policies are wonderful. Really, then why is it people who live in states in which your policies are put in place, your beliefs are implemented into law, that people, citizens, that are supposed to, instead of flocking there, they're leaving? Why is that? Why? You notice they're never asked that question. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed.
You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
The American Transmission's Talk and Text Line. Sadly, I have two daughters living in New York. Upstate is more open than the city, but they are still believing the lies from the Dems. And it is a totally different world. And I, like I said, I hear this. It is a real snapshot of how people can be brainwashed. One of the more extreme examples that we see pop up every so often is when it comes to cults, right? And we find ourselves fascinated oftentimes with cults. Heaven's Gate, Waco, you can go through the different listings, Jim Jones. And the reason we find it fascinating is because we see normal people, intelligent people oftentimes, cult members. You look at the professions of cult members, and we're not talking about individuals that would be stereotypically considered non-contributors to society. You get teachers, doctors, lawyers. You get all walks of life. It's not pigeonholed. And it's interesting to the average person because we say to ourselves, how could they believe this stuff? How could intelligent people just, despite all of the evidence around them, listen to somebody that, for whatever reason, they have accepted as an authority when it comes to this particular issue? In the case of cults, it's usually God. And in defiance of all of the information that is available that counters this idea that this person is some sort of prophet they're believing, and yet they still choose to believe it. Well, look at how people behave when it comes to COVID. When it comes to cults, we, again, watch with fascination when, and it's been a few years, but I recall in the news, there was some cult that most of us had never heard of, me included, I hadn't heard of it, but they were in the news because whatever the leader of the cult was had declared that this one day that was going to be the end of the world, or, I don't know, aliens were going to come back and take them and so forth, and all their believers were ready and waiting, and then, of course, it didn't happen. And then we watch with fascination as none of the followers go, oh, wait a minute, maybe this guy's a fraud, but instead they double down in their belief. And incidentally, there have been studies on why it is that human beings do this, and to some degree, we all do it. But we see that, and it's just fascinating to us, and we shake our heads. How could somebody believe something like that? I mean, how, when it's been proven not to be true, how many times have situations with COVID proven not to be true, yet we still believe the people who put out that information? How many times has Fauci made a declaration of one thing, but then turn around and, oh, no, actually, this is what it, I mean, masks are a perfect example. The same people who declared that a vaccine would prevent you from getting COVID are the same people that some people see as infallible and should be believed 100% of the time. And of course, those same people that say, well, but I mean, you know, we didn't know at the time. But that's the point. You acted as if the people who said it are gods. The people who say this information, who provide this information, that they should not be questioned. And then when it turns out they're wrong, even if it's for legitimate reasons, even if the reasons they're wrong are not nefarious reasons, instead of going, huh, maybe they're not absolutely right 100% of the time, they double down and decide this person is even a greater God than I ever believed. And so that's why you have these people that, you know, strap masks to their kids. And, you know, if your kid has some sort of, you know, immune issue or something, you know, compromised, obviously that's a different situation. But you see them, and look, they are people who live in cities in which the cult leaders, the politicians and the local media outlets are covering the press conferences of the local health officials, and they just believe whatever they say, regardless of all of the information that exists out there telling them the contrary. And in my mind, you go to somewhere like New York City and you see people riding bicycles outside by themselves wearing masks. And in my mind, that's no different than you go out and, you know, some huge piece of land where there are a bunch of cult leaders or followers walking around, behaving in a way that is consistent with what the leader told them to do, regardless of the fact that there's absolutely no evidence to back it up whatsoever. Springfield's Talk. Incidentally, I was at the fair last night with the wife, the girl child, and the girl child's friends. And over the loudspeaker, at one point, they're talking about, you know, masking up and all this. I was like, "Are you kidding me? I don't think I saw a single mask in that entire." I thought, just, again, it's a signal of the ridiculous nature of this. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed.
You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
The First Alert forecast sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvements. There is a flash flood warning until 9:15 for Hickory County. Flood watch until 9 this morning for counties east of Springfield. Showers and storms likely today. High of 93. Heat index of 100. 73 tonight. Slight chance of showers tomorrow. High of 95. Heat index of 100. Sunny hot Saturday with a high of 94. This is a story from Saturday that I saw it, grabbed it, thought, oh, this looks pretty interesting. I think I'll talk about this. And I just hadn't had an opportunity to get to it, so I'm going to share it now. James Carville sees no moral problem with Democrats supporting extremist Republican candidates. Now, this is happening more and more. An extremist is in quotes. And it is a scenario in which Democrats try and sabotage the Republican primaries in order to push through a candidate that they think they have the greatest likelihood of beating. Claire McCaskill, of course, did this, and I think she's one of the first, at least at that high of a level that I recall, that bragged about doing this. She wrote about it in her book. She talked about the fact that it worked, and she shotgunned a beer because it worked. She had, I think, a bet or something that whether or not it would work, and the shotgunning of the beer was what she did because I don't know. I don't remember if she won or lost the bet. But they were giddy about it. And it is, at the time I noted, you'd think, I mean, this is somebody who is, it's cheating, it's not illegal. But you think about it, if you are somebody in, you're an athlete and you are going to go up against someone and your goal is to really, you believe you are the best, you're the best boxer in the world or the best pole vaulter or whatever it is. And, well, I tell you, perfect example. Tonya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan. Tonya Harding feared that she could not beat Nancy Kerrigan. Nancy Kerrigan, she feared, was better than her. And so, what did she do? She had her eliminated so that she would be able to compete against someone else that she thought that she had a better chance of beating at the Olympics. Now, aside from the fact that, of course, the way that she went about it was a way that disgusted the world, but the fact that she was cheating, the world viewed her as lacking any sort of self-respect and dignity because it was a recognition that one, she knew she could not win on her own talent. Even she knew that she had to rig the system in order to have a better opportunity to win. A lot of people who were perhaps more sympathetic even felt sorry for her because here she is, somebody on the world stage, and this is what she has done. She has humiliated herself. And to some degree in the eyes of many, she sullied up the image of figure skating, made it tawdry, dirtied up its reputation. Instead of recognizing and respecting a competition as something in which the point is for the best person to win, in a power-hungry effort to win, to get that gold, she took out her competition so she would be able to compete against someone she felt had a better chance with. That's what Democrats are doing. Claire McCaskill was the Tonya Harding of politics. Try and take out those who can beat me by elevating those who I believe cannot. And of course, that was Todd Akin. That's the white trash approach that Claire McCaskill, making herself not only white trash, but further, as if it were even possible, dirtying up the democratic process that we have in this country. Now, the difference is between Tonya Harding and what Claire McCaskill did is Tonya Harding knew to be embarrassed by it. Tonya Harding knew that that was something that she should be humiliated over trying to do, and so she tried to hide it, cover it up. Claire McCaskill bragged about doing it. Can you imagine if Tonya Harding was like, hell yeah, I did it. And I shotgunned a beer afterwards. So you look at it in reality. Tonya Harding actually had more class than Claire McCaskill did. Now, you may be saying, okay, so why is it we're talking about Claire McCaskill? This was years ago that happened. Because now Democrats, they openly do this everywhere. They're all Tonya Hardings. And again, though, less class, more white trash, because they have no problem acknowledging this is what they're doing. And James Carville is the latest saying, oh, we've got no problem doing that. No, there's no problem doing this at all. This was on Saturday. CNN Jim Acosta pushed back on Jim Acosta over concerns about Democrats sabotaging Republican primaries. Acosta questioned the ongoing strategy of Democrat groups boosting what they consider to be extremist Republicans during the primaries to ensure their presence in the midterm elections because they believe it'll increase the likelihood that they'll win. Acosta said, quote, this has been something we've talked about quite a bit in Democratic circles as to whether or not this is a good idea. We've seen effort by Democratic campaigns and outside groups to tilt the playing field in their favor by propping up extremist Republican candidates in some of these very critical races around the country. The idea that it would make it easier for Democrats to win. Again, it's the same MO of Tonya Harding. He warned, but on the flip side, if the vote doesn't go their way, you could end up with conspiracy theorists, election deniers, and so on in some pretty important places. I love that terminology because does that not, I'm sorry, describe Hillary Clinton? The Russians hacked the election. I really won in 2016. In January, Democratic strategist James Carville blasted Democrats for wasting money in unwinnable elections. Although Acosta questioned whether the Democrats were playing with fire, Carville expressed no concern with their strategy, saying the idea of a political campaign is to win the election and it acts in its own interest. Now, one, that's very telling, isn't it, from a Democrat strategist. The number one priority or goal is not to make things better for the American people. Carville's admission here, at least for the Democrat Party, is that their goal is not to pass legislation that improves the quality of life or that respects people's liberties. No, it is to win no matter what. It is power. He added, I've done the same thing and I would do the same thing. I don't see any ethical or moral problem with doing this. I think most of the opposition to this is from the potential class or pontifical class, mostly located on the coast. I don't see anything wrong with this. And you try to do everything you can to help your candidate or your party to win an election, and that's pretty simple, and that's what the DCC is trying to do. Now, there's something very telling by way of omission here regarding where the Democrat Party is in the country today. We're going to take a break, get the traffic update, and then share that next. I'm Nick Reed.
You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
Aller Building Company. Some folks love remodeling. They love finding a home. Got the old bones. And we could just break her all down and you know, recreate it in our image. But some people want it to be in their image, your image, from the very get-go, the very beginning. You don't want to do any remodeling. You want to buy a home that is just what you want out of the box, if you will. Aller Building Company, if you are that person, especially if you're that person and you've never really done it before. And so you're nervous because you don't know what you don't know. You're afraid of being taken advantage of, and you don't know how to coordinate. Who do I call? I hear stuff about contractors. I hear, you know, this and that, and, you know, trying to coordinate things. Don't worry about any of that. Just contact Oller Building Company. They're going to take care of you. They do a fantastic job. You can get their info under Nick's endorsements at ksgf.com. Politically speaking, at least on the national stage, to the degree that she was, I think Claire McCaskill was the highest profile Tonya Harding of politics when she was running, not the time she lost, but the last time she won. And she recognized that she was not the best candidate. She recognized that if she was up against a Republican that was of the choosing of Republican voters, then she probably would lose. And so she took out the kneecaps of her competition by elevating, by interference in the Republican primary, the candidate she felt she would have a better chance of beating. That's why Tonya Harding took out Nancy Kerrigan, so that someone else that she felt would compete in her place. That's how she would win. Democrats are now openly embracing this. They have no dignity, no shame. Now, some Democrats are worried about it. Not because it is, and the media is talking, is this really a good idea? They aren't concerned because it's immoral or unethical. They aren't concerned because they recognize that they are admitting they know that they can't win on their own policies. The reason that they have concerns is because they're afraid that the Republican candidates that Democrats are trying to sabotage the primary in order to promote might actually end up winning. And the route they're going here is they are promoting the most Trump-like candidates in the primary. This is what's happening. You get these open primaries or even primaries that aren't open. They encourage the Democrats to switch their party affiliation and go vote and interfere in the Republican selection process and support the extreme Trump candidate. And, you know, the reason they're doing that is because they live in their own bubble. They live in their old world. And so they believe everyone, the vast majority of people, also see those candidates as extreme. And so in a general election, it is a sure loss. But there are some Democrats that recognize that that may not be as cut and dry as the Democrat voters think that participate in this sabotage. And that what might happen is that Republicans will still win, but there'll be Trump Republicans. And if there's one thing worse than Republicans having control, it's Trump Republicans having control. So James Carville was asked about this past Saturday, and he's like, I don't have any problem with it at all. I got no problem with it because the number one goal is to win. He said, I think most of the opposition to this is from the pontifical class, mostly located on the coast. I don't see anything wrong with this. You try to do everything you can to help your candidate or your party win an election. And that's what they're doing. This is the part that most of you recognize. And that is a full admission by James Carville that the best way for Democrats to win is not to point to their track record. The best way for Democrats to win is not to promote their policies. He is fully acknowledging here that, listen, this is how they're going to win. This is totally legit because the point is to win, and you do whatever it is you can in order to help your candidate win. And what is the one thing that he's saying can be done? It is trying to sabotage the Republican selection process of their candidates. It's not to show what the results of their policies. It's not to promote whatever policies they want for the future. It's not to compare and contrast the results of their policies versus Republican policies. In other words, it's nothing meaningful at all. The primary way that Democrats recognize that they have in order to win is to try and rig the system, is to try to Tonya Harding the elections, and that is take out the knees of the best Republican candidate and promote what they believe is a candidate that they may have a chance to beat. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed.
You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
Every so often, doesn't happen with frequency at all, but every so often, I'll get a text that says, hey, Nick's getting cut off by a commercial. And I immediately, well, I shouldn't say I know, but when this, it pops up every couple weeks or so, which I'm glad that people reach out and let me know this. Generally, I oftentimes learn that it is listening online and generally on a phone. And if, I'll tell you this, if that happens and it's only one commercial, it's your phone. And the reason I say that is because when the stream starts, there is one ad that plays at the beginning of it, and then it goes into the stream. Some phones, most don't do this, but some phones, and I don't know why they do this, they quickly reset the stream. Generally, it's done so fast that you would not notice it. But the reason that it is being noticed on your phone is because when that's happening, it's telling our stream it's a new session, which means play that commercial. Now, so if it's only one commercial you're hearing, that is what's happening with your phone. I believe Google, some Google Pixel phones do that, I'm not sure what others. I don't know the fix for that, though. It's my understanding that there is a fix to stop your phone from doing that, but that is a phone issue if you find that that